Egypt has been grappling with its own issues related to Islam, which have affected even the uppermost strata of Egyptian politics. 2 years ago, Egypt's military deposed the country's first democratically elected leader and member of the Muslim Brotherhood, President Mohamed Morsi, after millions of Egyptians demonstrated to demand his resignation.
They accused him of trying to brotherhoodize the government, that is, of trying to propagate the Islamist views held by the Muslim Brotherhood, which advocates moving away from secularism and towards Islamic Sharia law. The new interim authorities quickly cracked down on Morsi supporters, killing over 1,000 and detaining thousands more, drawing international condemnation.
The Muslim Brotherhood has since been designated a terrorist organization in Egypt, and its members have been sentenced in trials that observers say are neither free nor fair. But the group continues to operate underground, as Naomi Conrad reports from Cairo.
They see the security forces inside the mosque. They close the mosque. It's not open for prayers and worshippers anymore.
As the taxi driver meanders through the late afternoon traffic in Cairo, he inches past a mosque, its entrance cordoned off with barbed wire, guarded by a tank. It was here, on the road leading to one of Cairo's more affluent neighbourhoods, that protesters gathered in early July of 2013 to demonstrate against the deposal of former president and member of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohamed Morsi. This followed weeks of mass protests against his rule, which many deemed increasingly undemocratic. 6 weeks later, security forces moved into the camp at Rabah, killing hundreds of protesters.
It was the hardest day of my life. I never imagined that I would see such a day. There was a hail of bullets. I saw a man on fire, and I couldn't do anything to help.
Sitting in an apartment full of brocade furniture and dusty chandeliers not far from Rabah, Aisha grimaces as she recalls that day. Those weeks changed everything for this 32-year-old eloquent mother of three, modestly dressed in a loose white hijab and grey tunic. Her father, Khairat el-Shatta, was one of the leading figures within the Muslim Brotherhood and its chief financier. Today, the family assets are frozen and her father languishes in jail, sentenced to death along with Morsi and hundreds of other members of the now banned Muslim Brotherhood, which the government has designated a terrorist organization.
Especially after Hisham Barakat was killed, the state will increase its grip over the country, and this will give them the legitimacy to treat those in prison even more harshly, especially if they claim that they're responsible for killing Barakat and other officials. They're trying to find a reason to convince the public that those who are in prison should be sentenced to death.
She's referring to Hisham Barakat, Egypt's chief prosecutor and the architect of the country's crackdown on the Muslim Brotherhood and the opposition, who was assassinated on the 29th of June. A bomb ripped through his convoy as it passed through Cairo. At his funeral, former career army officer turned president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, vowed to speed up the trials of militants, blaming the Muslim Brotherhood for the attack. It's an accusation Aisha denies, and many analysts say the car bombing more likely bears the hallmarks of an IS-affiliated group.
It's become the rule that whenever anything bad happens in the country, it's blamed on the Muslim Brotherhood. But if you really think about it, all the group's leaders are in prison.
It's up to young women and men like Shams to continue the work of the Brotherhood. The young, handsome 22-year-old, with a ready smile and fashionable jeans and brown trainers, agreed to meet DW in a flat somewhere in Cairo on condition of absolute anonymity. Anything else, he says, might prove too dangerous.
I'd be arrested, of course. Many of my friends have been arrested, some of them killed.
He shrugs. He joined the Muslim Brotherhood back in 2011, he says, because he was attracted to its religious ideals, where boys memorize the Quran and women dress modestly. At first, his neighborhood cell, some 7 or 8 men, would gather in the local mosque to discuss religion, culture even, or Syrian politics. But today, following what he calls the military coup, they meet in secret, sneaking into a member's flat one by one, and conversations evolve around Egyptian politics. Once, sometimes twice a week, Shams receives a call summoning him to a special dinner. His cell's code for protest to challenge the regime.
We consider it a failed protest if the police don't show up. In a protest, I was marching right next to a 13-year-old boy, and I heard him pray, "Oh God, please let the police come. Let the police come."
The idea, he says, is to engage the security forces.
We want to become the focus of the regime so it neglects all the other threats. All they do now is monitor and arrest the members of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they don't have time for anything else. We're not trying to help terrorist groups, just distract the regime.
Eventually, the reasoning goes, the security and political situation will deteriorate to such an extent that the regime might collapse. He grins. The Muslim Brotherhood, he says, needs new leaders, people who take on a more active leadership and lead the fight against the regime, which, he says, almost as an afterthought, has to remain peaceful.
You're fine with this being recorded for a
Yeah, of course.
That's not a given, though. On the veranda of a cafe of one of Cairo's most expensive neighborhoods, Amit Azama, the son of ousted President Morsi. He chose this location for our meeting. Seeing him at his house would have been too dangerous, he says. A group of bored-looking upper-class Egyptian youths sitting close by sip their coffee and stare at their smartphones. Azama shakes his head.
I believe in the rule of law and nonviolence and a peaceful democratic change. But to be honest, I can't guarantee anything. On the contrary, I'm very afraid of what's coming next, and I have reasons for that. In every household, someone has been arrested, and that means you have an enemy in every house.
Does that mean the leadership may be losing control of more radical elements? He shrugs and confirms what Aisha told me earlier.
There is no leadership for the Muslim Brotherhood now. They are all in prison.
His father, like so many other leaders, is being held in solitary confinement in an unknown location. As the group of bored-looking Egyptians gets up to leave, Azama leans forward.
The presidential elections came after a popular revolution. Even if the regime threatens to arrest us, we are no longer afraid of it. We broke the barrier of fear ever since the January 25th revolution. If you break it once, you can always break it again.
In Egypt today, the scene is set for further confrontation. Just days after Barakat's death, special forces killed several Muslim Brotherhood members in a raid on a flat in Cairo.